जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी तिरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल जय गौर जय विश्व
परमहंस परिवचकाचार्य श्रोत्तर सत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की शिलप्रभुपाद की शिलप्रभुपाद अनुगा की समवेत भक्त वृंद की नित्य गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सिंबल डिवोटीज और ग्लोरीज टू सिंबल डिवोटीज और ग्लोरीज टू सिंबल डिवोटीज और ग्लोरीज और ग्लोरीज और ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू शिलप्रभुपाद ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवति न इष्टिगी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 टेक्स्ट 16 एंड 15 चैप्टर 10 कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 10 रीडिंग ऑफ 15 एंड देन 16 टुडे मृदंग शंख भैर्यश्च वीणा पनव गोमुखाः धुंधुरी आनक घंटाद्य ने दुर्धुंधभ्यस्तथा ट्रांसलेशन वेल द लॉर्ड वॉज डिपार्टिंग फ्रॉम द पैलेस ऑफ हस्तिनापुरा डिफरेंट टाइप्स ऑफ ड्रम्स लाइक द मृदंगा ढोला नगरा धुंधुरी एंड धुंधुभी एंड फ्लूट्स ऑफ डिफरेंट टाइप्स द वीणा गोमुखा एंड बेरी ऑल साउंडेड टुगेदर टू शो हिम ऑनर Text 16 Prasada sikara rudhah kuru naryo didrikshaya vavrishuhu kusumaihi krishnam prema vrida smitekshanah Please repeat Prasada sikara rudhah कुरु नार्यो दिदृक्षया वव्रुषुः कुसुमैः कृष्णम् प्रेमव्रीडा स्मितेक्षणाः प्रासादशिखरारूढाः कुरु नार्यो दिदृक्षया वव्रुषुः कुसुमैः कृष्णम् प्रेमव्रीडास्मितेक्षणाः प्रासादशिखरारूढाः कुरुनार्यो दिदृक्षया वव्रुषुः कुसुमैः कृष्णम् प्रेम व्रीडा स्मिते क्षणाः
Oh, we're sure.
Prasada. Palace. Shikara. The roof. Arudaha. Ascending. Kuru Naryaha. The ladies of the Kuru royalty. Didrikshaya. Seeing. Vavrushuhu. Showered. Kusumaihi. By flowers. Krishnam. Upon Lord Krishna. Prema. Out of affection and love. Vrida smita ikshanaha. Glancing with shy smiles. Translation and purport by Zuvan Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation, out of loving desire to see the Lord, the royal ladies of the Kurus got up on top of the palace, and smiling with affection and shyness, they showered flowers upon the Lord. Please repeat, out of loving desire to see the Lord, the royal ladies of the Kurus got up on top of the palace, and smiling with affection and shyness, they showered flowers upon the Lord. Purport. Shyness is a particular extra natural beauty of the fair sex, and it commands respect from the opposite sex. This custom was observed even during the days of the Mahabharata, that is more than 5,000 years ago. It is only the less intelligent persons, not well versed in the history of the world, who say that observance of separation of female from male is an introduction of the Mohammedan period in India. This incident from the Mahabharata proves definitely that the ladies of the palace observed strict parda, that is, restricted association with men, and instead of coming down in the open air, where Lord Krishna and others were assembled, the ladies of the palace went up on the top of the palace, and from there paid their respects to Lord Krishna by showers of flowers. It is definitely stated here that the ladies were smiling there on the top of the palace, checked by shyness. This shyness is a gift of nature to the fair sex, and it enhances their beauty and prestige, even if they are of a less important family, or even if they are less attractive. We have practical experience of this fact. A sweeper woman commanded the respect of many respectable gentlemen simply by manifesting a lady's shyness. Half-naked ladies in the street do not command any respect, but a shy sweeper's wife commands respect from all. Human civilization as conceived of by the sages of India is to help one free himself from the clutches of illusion. The material beauty of a woman is an illusion, because actually the body is made of earth, water, fire, air, etc. But because there is the association of the living spark within the matter, it appears to be beautiful. No one is attracted by an earthen doll, even if it is more perfectly prepared to attract the attention of others. The dead body has no beauty, because no one will accept the dead body of a so-called beautiful woman. Therefore, the conclusion is that the spirit spark is beautiful, and because the soul's beauty, one is attracted by the beauty of the outward body. The Vedic wisdom, therefore, forbids us to be attracted by false beauty. But because we are now in the darkness of ignorance, the Vedic civilization allows very restricted mixing of woman and man. They say that the woman is considered to be the fire and the man is considered to be the butter. Sri Jagannath Paladev Subhadramai Ki. The butter must melt in association with fire, and therefore they may be brought together only when it is necessary. And shyness is a check to the unrestricted mixing. It is nature's gift and it must be utilized. Om Tat Sat. Om Agyanatimidandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschattadesha Tarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Out of loving desire to see the Lord, the royal ladies of the Kurus got up on top of the palace and smiling with affection and shyness, they showered flowers upon the Lord. Srila Prabhupada is very wonderfully described in the purport, the essential point in this translation, shyness for the ladies. We were discussing yesterday about the female relatives whose eyes were flooded with tears out of anxiety for Krishna, came out of the palace. They could stop their tears only with great difficulty. They feared that tears would cause misfortune at the time of departure. And today we read, while the Lord was departing from the palace of out of loving desire. So, these are the feelings of all the royal ladies that is being documented here. The royal ladies means Draupadi, Kunti, all of them who are the wives of the Pandavas, the wives of the Kurus, all of them together, they all have an attraction for Krishna. And that attraction for Krishna is so strong, like we discussed yesterday. It's a central piece of all relationships. And it is extremely powerful and strong that even the royal ladies, before Krishna leaves, they want to express their love and affection to Krishna. So it's mentioned here that they were smiling with affection and shyness. And Prabhupada is pointing out that when ladies are properly oriented, then they will manifest this shyness and it makes them very attractive. Not only physically attractive, but it makes them valuable and therefore attractive. So, value for a woman, Prabhupada explains very nicely, is to remain within the confines and protection of the Vedic rules and regulations. In this way, a woman can derive great value. Prabhupada has given the beautiful example of a sweeper woman, although she is publicly sweeping. She can command great respect from the men who are moving around simply by manifesting shyness. Right? One thing is to be afraid. Another thing is to be shy. A woman will normally be afraid. But Prabhupada is saying here that out of her shyness, she is securing herself. Because for cultured men, as soon as they see shyness manifested, they'll keep away out of value and respect. It's the inner content inside the woman and the inner content inside the man that makes all the difference. That is a check in itself. The check for the woman is to be shy. Not manifest shyness, but actually be shy. Actually be shy. That is incorporated within the woman. That if you're brought up properly, you're naturally shy. And by your shyness, you'll command respect, Prabhupada is mentioning. Similarly, the man, he may not be shy. That is not part of his design, to be shy. But his internal manifestation is, he respects any lady apart from his wife as mother. Matravat paradareshu paradravyeshu loshtravat. Atmavat sarvabhuteshu yapashyati sapandita. This is a deep internal culture that if the woman feels shy and manifests her shyness externally, and the man, when he sees a shy woman, he immediately respects her internally as equivalent to his mother, then society is very safe. Very safe. Then all base desires can be checked and can be regulated. It's very important. So if women lose shyness, then immediately they start doing certain things which attract the man. And then if the shyness is broken, then the man will also feel, oh, this is open. Unless he is a very cultured person who is able to make out, this lady is not of good standard, I get away from here. Because I may not be able to mentally give that respect as a mother for a lady who is like that. I remember my initial days when I was told that you must address everybody as Mataji, Mataji, Mataji. And there was a big discussion about how can I address people as Mataji where I go to work. Where I go to work. And if I don't address as Mataji, how will I get that right attitude and feeling? And if I see some half-naked ladies like Prabhupada has mentioned on the roadside, do I say Mataji? Does it fit? It doesn't fit. It simply doesn't fit. It's not difficult, easy to. I remember Prabhupada's disciple chastising me because I called another, my initial days here, not here in this building, but the previous place we were staying. Because I called some girl who was younger than me, it's part of the congregation, and named her as Mataji. Then he said, what's wrong with you? Why didn't you just call her by the name? What's the meaning of calling Mataji? I said, I was always wondering that the rule is that you must call any Mata, any person as Mataji. I don't know how to adjust this inside. Then he told me that, be practical. If you call some 10-year-old kid Mataji, it means what people will think around you, all people will think around you. Right? You can address people of lower age than you by their name because you are much senior. And if somebody is older to you or of the same age, then maybe you can think of addressing Mataji. Like this, there are many things in people's minds because the situation now in Kali Yuga is very different. And if you're going around to say Mataji to everybody on the roadside and everybody else, it'll make a laughing stock of the idea of Mataji. So, in the modern world, it's very different. It's very different. And there's nothing like shyness and all that. Women just come forward where there are men, and then they just openly talk. They're in leading positions, and they sit in huge assemblies. They get up, they talk. It's got nothing to do with shyness. It's the complete opposite of shyness. They're in the forefront. And we are in a world where people are talking about equality, egalitarian society. Equality of men and women. And quite often, women, especially those who are genuinely oppressed, they may react to situations. And we may think there's no question of anything to do with shyness. It's a challenge to maintain these principles. That is why the best things to do is to show people a society in which these things are possible. In which these things are possible. So at least in the Krishna conscious community, men and women should reciprocate by following these genuine natural feelings that are endemic to the man and the woman. That's naturally there. That is what will culture our own society and will also culture ourselves internally. So Prabhupada is speaking about that here very nicely, that shyness is a gift of nature to the fair sex and it enhances their beauty and prestige. Even if they are of a less important family or even if they are less attractive. See? Very important for us to know these subtle points. Sometimes they don't understand these things because it's a deeply cultural aspect. And if you've not been born and brought up or something in that type of a society, you may not even appreciate. What's the use of that? What's the use of shyness? What does it give you? What type of material sense gratification does it help you get? So, at least our women should become repositories of this type of qualities, wherein they are cultured very deeply into good womanhood and they are able to manifest that level of quality. So shyness is a check, automatic check. See, covering themselves up properly, being respectful in front of the man, what to speak of other men. In front of your husband itself, you must be very carefully placed. This is culture. That even in front of your husband, you exhibit shyness. Right? And in front of other men, you're not even seen. That's a Vedic culture. Of course, now if you talk all these things, you become a controversial person. The women are not seen. At the most, you see them behind the curtain somewhere. And they come, one of them would come out, but the rest of them will always remember. Even in my younger days, I remember that. In my house, any guest comes, all the women rush into the back door, into the kitchen or the other rooms, and they sit there and talk, and they wait for the people to go. And I used to go and tease them. You know, I was a young boy, and I used to go and tease the women in the house. And I will be running errands up and down, in and out of the room. And I was wondering, why you guys are sitting here? Come out and no. Some guest has come. My father is talking, my brother is talking, so we don't come out there. That's the way. They're not seen too much outside. In Kerala, you go in these old days, they call them antarjanam. The women are called antarjanam. Antar means inside. Supposed to live inside, antarjanam. You never see them. Never see them. Only the husband sees them. The rest of them, they don't see them. They just sit inside, chant Hare Krishna, do the puja, look after the kids, look after the house, cook, all these things they do. They are antarjanam, meant to live inside the house. But their culture was very high and they were completely focused on serving the husband and the family and they were very busy doing that, like that. So of course in modern society, it's very difficult to match this up sometimes. But the best we could do is to model it within our society to the extent possible. To the extent possible. Otherwise sometimes the things that we say from the pulpit, from the Vyasasam, the high level of philosophies that we speak cannot be backed up by the culture that is commensurate with that. We have to have a culture that's commensurate with the high philosophy that we speak. We cannot speak a lofty philosophy from a big place and then walk down and become an ordinary person in your behavior. It's completely controversial. Lord Chaitanya even told Sanatana Goswami, he eyed his blanket, the other day we discussed it, he had this costly blanket around him. From that time because he refused to take invitation from a Brahmana to come home and eat, saying that, why would I come home and eat? I would go around and beg Madhukari and do. And then Lord Chaitanya thought, all this is very nice. And then he eyed his blanket. And he said that, fine, Madhukari, you want to be a sannyasi, you renounce and all that. What about the blanket? And then when he gave up the blanket and took a torn quilt and came, Lord Chaitanya said, yes, now it makes sense. He said, you will become a laughing stock. People will joke about you if you wear this blanket and go for Madhukari. Because this blanket is quite costly and you go and beg. Something is wrong, he said. So it's good that you gave this blanket away. And then you wear a torn quilt. Then you go and ask Madhukari. It's in keeping with your Madhukari. You have a high lofty philosophy of begging and eating and you cover yourself with a so costly a blanket and you go, it's not good. Same way, we have a lofty philosophy that we want to practice and we're not able to manifest certain types of simple supportive cultures for that particular type of a lofty philosophy. Then you'll become a butt of joke. Yeah, you know, all sorts of jokes will be cracked. So people watch, and if you want them to believe in the philosophy, practice the philosophy and become Krishna conscious, then you have to also act it out. Walk your talk, like they say. Whatever you talk, you walk and show me that. So you have to walk your talk. How? You have to follow it. Krishna conscious philosophy is not an armchair philosophy, Prabhupada mentioned in Nectar of Instruction. It's not something to sit and talk about alone and then forget it. Abhidheya, Krishna Bhakti, is being practiced. And you can see all these ladies, they're all very deeply Krishna conscious. They practice it. They know Krishna very well. Kunti Devi knows Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna behaves with her with great respect. He comes and bows down to her, touches the ground close to her feet. This is Krishna. And he very nicely offers respect by going around her and then climbs into the chariot, you'll see. And then Kunti Devi offers prayers. I know who you are. Namasye Purusham Twadyam Ishwaram Prakrite Param Alakshyam Sarvabhutanam Antar Bahir Avastitam. I know you are inside and outside of everybody, manifested. Alakshyam, not visible to anybody. Sarvabhutanam, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, absolute truth, samam bonam. And Natuo Natyadharo Yata, you are a fantastic actor. You have become my nephew. You're bowing down to me, respect and all that. But whatever it is, I offer my prayers to you. She offers prayers. But according to ordinary vyavahar, normal behavior, etiquette, social etiquette, Krishna does everything that is necessary. Everything that's necessary. He protects women. He respects the Pandavas. He respects Yudhishthira as his elder brother and pays obeisances to Yudhishthira. Everything that's required. Similarly, in our philosophy of Krishna consciousness also, we should preach Krishna consciousness, know the real original truth, and then we should manifest that in behavior. Because the culture is very important. Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is a cultural movement for re-spiritualizing human society. This is the definition he gave. So cultural conquest is what I have planned, Prabhupada said. Through culture of Krishna consciousness, they conquer people. Then they will chant Hare Krishna and become devotees. The culture in itself is not the be-all and end-all for all of us. Right? The culture is a stepping stone. It attracts people. It brings them to have faith. So these aspects, our women behaving, our men behaving, the brahmacharis, the sannyasis, the grahasthas, how they behave and what impression they create, very important. Otherwise, people will misunderstand many things. That is the duty of the Krishna conscious devotees who follow Srila Prabhupada and his instructions. So women should definitely be very careful in front of the men. That's good behavior. That shows that a person is cultured. We know, when we see a lady, we know. Men know when they see, oh, this is a very cultured person. They don't, you know, play around. I'm saying anybody for that matter. They're careful. Respectable person. Very respectable lady. Cultured lady. At the same time, if somebody is loose, not up to the mark, then it can be disturbing to the men. And it can be inviting a lot of trouble. Right? Inviting trouble. So therefore, Nanva Agni Pramadhanama Gita Kumbha Saman. As Prabhupada is mentioned here, the woman is like butter and the man is like fire. If they are brought together, the butter will melt. I'm sorry, the other way around. Woman is fire and the man is butter. And if they are brought together, the butter will melt for sure. That's the way they design us. That's the way the living beings are designed. So therefore, for a man, it is very necessary to be, for his Krishna consciousness, amongst, in a cultured society, where the women don't know their place. It helps him to become more serious in Krishna consciousness. And makes him progress fast. And since the women are dependent on the men for their progress in spiritual life, if the men progress, they'll automatically take the women with them spiritually. Because they're dependent. Right? Of course, in this modern day where women are asked to be independent, one thing is to be materially in the outside world, be independent. Then to become as a person independent is another thing. So women nowadays seek independence to such a great extent that they become loose and they are unprotected and lots of things happen. Many, many things happen. So the fundamental issue, the basic thing is how to culture everybody to be Krishna conscious. And in that process, how to actually follow practically certain things. That is why Srila Prabhupada has given these instructions. Somebody may wonder, what has shyness got to do with achieving Krishna bhakti? True. Man is not supposed to be shy. Man is not supposed to be shy. Of course, you sometimes nowadays see that type of people also. They have some mental subtle body problem. You have people who are, you know, all sorts of things in their head, transgender. That's becoming increasingly common. And you see people of this, and you see women who are too bold and they want to be like men. And you see men who want to be like women. Kali Yuga, you feel, it's very difficult to black and white say so-and-so is a man, so-and-so is a woman. You get all sorts of crazy combinations that there is no clear woman and clear man. Slowly you can see a lot of them like that. I think very soon in the future they will ask you what percentage of female, what percentage of male you are. They won't write male, female. They'll rather say, because even now they have started writing, I told you that, in the passport form, I went maybe at least 10 years back. They already had, did you have a sex change? When? Etc. They ask. I was very shocked. I said, what are you asking? It's very insulting. He said, no, maybe for you. Just say no there, that's all. Just say no. But they are saying that it's, you know, quite a common phenomena, slowly. So, that's another dimension, then all these laws will be very difficult to apply. We would apply that much percentage of law as much as you are male or female. I don't have to be shy because I'm actually feeling like this. I don't feel shy at all. See, And there are women who, and there are men who feel shy. The other day in this airport, I was sitting for boarding a flight, and then there's a man who comes with a huge frock and high heel shoes, and then you know, necklace like a woman, and he's completely dressed like a woman. And everybody is surprised, but nobody's saying anything. And he's sitting around talking on the phone. So many, I see that quite often now when I travel in many places. So it's going to be difficult, I think, in the future in the Krishna consciousness movement to apply certain things. We have to work out how to do it. It's not so easy to, but the basic, at least in Prabhupada's books, at some point in time, people know once upon a time, there were 100% men and 100% women. And these rules and laws applied at some point. We hope that the Krishna consciousness movement will spread in such a manner that no such thing will happen, and people will know what to do, what not to do, and their culture will be very nicely edified, so that they know these things are true and people can see us as a model society. And this is how it should be. It's what Prabhupada wanted. There should be one model society where people know what is right and what is wrong, how it is supposed to be, so that the society doesn't degrade for lack of having an example. So, very important that women are a very important part of society. Extremely important. As mothers, they are greatly influencing the people. Lord Chaitanya, you know, he showed that he was deeply influenced by his mother. Mother's affection. Mother's affection deeply influenced Lord Chaitanya. Even after he took sannyas, when he came to Navadvip, his mother came and put him on her lap and kissed him on the head. He was 24 years old. It's mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And he promised his mother that, okay, I will not go away to Vrindavan, I'll go to Puri and stay so that you can access me. And he gave her a benediction that you offer me every day and I'll come and eat. So, women have such a strong influence, and if that influence is put to good use, nicely, then society can be so wonderful. As good mothers, as good wives, as sisters, that is the role that we need in society very strongly. We don't need software engineers, we don't need MBA graduates out of women, we don't need so much for making society progressive, more spiritually oriented. That's what we need. Unfortunately, the way things are set up, our women in our whole society, I mean, not only ISKCON society, especially in India, they all are losing their shyness, going and working in places, and it makes it even worse. Of course, many of them preserve these things and try to do both together, and some of them are successful. But it's a great challenge, mixing with members of the opposite sex. Prabhupada is commenting on that. This is present right from that time, and it is not to be attributed only to the Muslim religion. They keep men and women completely separated. Totally separated. They're very strict about it. So these are some thoughts about what Prabhupada has written here. The point is that their attraction to Krishna. The royal ladies are all attracted to Krishna. And like we discussed yesterday, there is no rule and regulation for attraction to Krishna. Any woman can be attracted to Krishna. Any creature, any type of species can get attracted to Krishna. Even a dog can take part in it, Prabhupada has mentioned. So everybody will naturally be attracted to Krishna. So also women. And Krishna is not just a man. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these ladies are attracted to Krishna because He is their protector and they are expressing their feelings towards Krishna, which is right. And while doing that, they are still following the culture that abounds in that place, in Hastinapura. They are all being careful and they are expressing themselves out of shyness, and with great affection they are seeing Krishna. Yeah, this essentially is the cultural quality that's very important. If that foundation is not there, sometimes it's difficult to make progress in Krishna consciousness. We should not think that these type of things are not important. Only chanting of the holy name is important. Only observing Ekadashi is important. Only reading Prabhupada's books is important. There's an imbalance. There's that famous letter of Prabhupada to Arundhati, where she went for Sankirtan and distributing books and deity worship, etc. And she did not look after her child. And Prabhupada has written a very strong letter saying that your child is your deity. Look after the child next to deity worship. He brought her back into her role as a mother. Do that first. These are not ordinary children. He said they are Vaikuntha children. They are born to devotee and he must look after the child. Same way, all other aspects of culture are not only this. All other aspects of culture. That is the duty of the woman, to look after the children, to keep the house, to bring out a Krishna conscious, pleasing atmosphere, cater to the husband, and do all these things. I think these things, if they are absent, and we try to do great preaching in the forefront, something will be lost in between. It may not work, it may not kick off very well. So that's why it's foundational. And this is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. We know that we don't have to do demigod worship like we were doing before. We don't have to have a Mayavad conclusion. We don't have to, you know, do certain types of things. This does not mean that we give up culture. And this anyway is not some of the great cultural aspects. It's a mistaken aspect. So culture still remains. Vedic culture still remains. And we practice the lofty philosophy. And we can make jointly progress in that direction. So these aspects are very important. They should not be neglected. Om Tat Sat Srila Prabhupada Ki. Any question or comment? Yes. Mataji. Well, you're stating a fact observation. It will happen by introducing Krishna consciousness to the extent possible. To that extent, it will happen. Yes, we can't switch off immediately everything. We have to gradually do it. But this is ideal. You may not be able to get 100% of it, but we can at least aim for 80%, 70%. And try to see to what extent we can do that. And gradually over a period of time, there will definitely be a golden period where everybody in the community at least thinks that's very valuable and very useful and will do it that way. Right? So it may not happen immediately. We are like the second generation of devotees still in ISKCON. One generation also there still. So further generations of people, maybe gradually things will happen. This is the way I think about it. Because nothing gets done instantly. Switch on, switch off. It's not like that. There's a lot of gray area in between we have to go through. And that change in human society means changing every person inside. Every person inside becomes convinced of this change and then we move together as a change. Isn't it? So, it will take time. The devotees whom you are talking about have to have value for this portion of culture. They have to have confidence and faith Like Prabhupada has told us, Rakshishyatiti Vishvaso. Definitely, Avashya Rakshibe Krishna Vishvasa Palana. We should cultivate that faith that definitely Krishna will protect me because I am trying to be His servant and practicing devotional service. In this way, we have faith that by trying to practice and institute these things, speak about them, discuss them, we slowly understand the importance, and then we know that if it is practiced, we stand to gain in a great way. Then we will do. Because people are not yet convinced that by practicing this, I have got any benefit. That's why they are not doing it. That's why they are not doing it. And that will come. And moreover, there are social situations, economic situations, that also need to be taken into consideration. It's complex. It's not something that will happen so fast. Gradually, it will happen. But we must keep this as an ideal. We must keep this as a vision towards which we must move. Not just that women pretend to be shy. It's not that just we want everybody, oh, you have to be shy, so therefore quickly we become shy to the external world. It means something deep and that can only be cultured from inside. That's the whole point. That's why I'm talking about everybody internally transforming and understanding the importance. Then the external shyness is a very easy byproduct of the internal manifestation. That's what is required. That is deep. Quite quickly we can just look shy very fast. It's not difficult to do that. And quite quickly men also can be very respectful. Mataji, like that. But who knows what's working inside. Right? So culture means culturing inside. That takes time or not? Takes time. That's why we are repeatedly discussing these things, you know, sitting together and understanding it. It has to deeply be understood. Then only it will come out in the form of an action. So if you reverse it, if there is no action, there are of course various reasons. But the main reason would be that he is not yet convinced, not deeply analyzed it, not thought about it. And we have maybe sometimes no time to do it or something like that. Okay? Is any other question or comment? Pardon? There's no problem, you just have to follow the husband. Just have to listen to the husband. That's what the woman is supposed to do. Otherwise, the woman should listen, if she is not married, should listen to the father. Or if she is married, and then a husband is no more, then she should listen to the son. That's what the Shastra says. The woman should not take an independent decision. If a woman is part of the Krishna conscious community, then she has many different types of shelters. Other elderly Vaishnavis, Guru, your own husband who is a devotee, and your elderly son. So many different types of shelters you have. Like that. If one is not there, you can depend on the other and get some shelter and do the needful. Okay. Yes. Pardon? Yes. Our Afri? Yes. Yes, I understand that. Feeling. Okay. Okay. Hmm. Very true. Good point. Vishayira anna khoile malina hoya mana. Lord Chaitanya warned. In another place, Vishira Anna Khoile Dushtahoyamana. Lord Chaitanya wondered if you eat food cooked by a materialistic person, even if it is vegetarian food, then your mind will get disturbed. Malina Hoyamana. So food that you eat will definitely affect your consciousness. And in between the food and the consciousness, your mind, your thoughts, your intelligence, everything can get affected. So therefore you'll get funny ideas and your intelligence will work in collusion with those ideas and you may do something wrong. Very subtle but very powerful. That's why we ask all our devotees to always eat food offered in sacrifice to the Lord. Naivedyam, prasadam, you eat. Very important. You are forced to teach others. Prabhupada assumes that you are a cultured person who is reading this book. Or even if you were not, by reading you would become cultured. Especially for people in India, at least they'll wake up to culture, which they lost. Right? These things will happen to you. If it's somewhere in America, people are reading it and they say, what a wonderful culture, I like to be part of it, I never practiced it. Zoom, they can go inside. But in India, it is very complicated. That's why. When they read all these things, they say, no, this is not important. Because they are stung by Western culture. And they don't see result coming from this culture. How many temples, how many people we have worshipped, look at our history. What did we get out of it? Value systems have changed. What you value is no more Krishna consciousness. Right? So, in India, when somebody reads a book, maybe his response could be different or it could be educated response. We should know whatever that from Prabhupada's books, these cultural aspects are mentioned. Therefore, they are essential to Varnashrama, which leads one to devotion to Krishna. So, our cultural aspects are actually being instituted so that that becomes a stepping stone for achieving Krishna Prema. But our goal is Krishna Prema, not the culture. That should be understood. For that sake, we follow the culture. It's not that simply by being a Hindu. Nowadays, Hindu means, immediately they put Indian culture. You see in the web anywhere, they'll show Bharatanatyam and also a temple's gopuram and a big chariot wheel. This is what is Indian culture. And somebody in yoga pose. This is the understanding they have of Indian culture. All visit India, tourism India, they'll show Bharatanatyam, one lady dancing Bharatanatyam, big temples, coconut, these are all the cultures. I met the Pope, you know, when he came, Pope John Paul II in Cochin. I had said that I want to meet the Pope, and I'm the leader of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, and in Kerala I represent this thing. So they gave me an invitation to come. Hundreds and thousands and lakhs of people waiting to see the Pope. So from different institutional heads, they had called Hindus, Christians, Muslims, everybody. And the Pope came in a Pope mobile, you know, covered bulletproof. He came on his own, driving. In the corridor, inside the room also, he came like that. Bulletproof. He's a very popular person. So, before he came, there were all these different type of Mayavadi sannyasis, demigod worshippers, all of them from different associations in India. In India there are plenty. And they were all sitting there and we also walked in, we were two brahmacharis. It was way back, 20 years back maybe. We walked in and thought, oh, a regular crowd. And we were both sitting and talking, joking, laughing and all. We're just having a fun time. We bought Bhagavad Gita and we read and we discussed. And all these people were watching us because we were separated from them. We didn't want to mix. That was one thing. They'll tell you, no, come, come. We said, yes, yes. We said like this and we just wanted to wait for the Pope and finish and go. That was a little, not a very good attitude for preaching, but those days that's how we thought we should be. Then there was a whole big table opened up. That table was as big as this half this room, that big table. And there were all sorts of things to eat, right from, if you're a, you know, vegetarian, you can eat it, or if you're a non-vegetarian, you can eat it. Something more than that also you can eat. You know, omnivore. You can be a herbivore, carnivore, and omnivore. That is, eat anything including the table and the Pope who will come. There are all sorts of guys, chomp, 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 they were all eating all the stuff. And all these sannyasis, they were eating all meat. They're happily eating meat because nobody's going to watch them. Only their Christian and Muslim friends will watch them. They were eating meat and then we saw that, my gosh, good reason for us not to go anywhere near you now. So we're keeping on this. Then the person came and said, come eat, please come and eat. No, thank you, we're on a fast today. Really? Why are you fasting? We were whispering, just because the Pope has come, we are fasting. And we were laughing. And they said, it's okay, it's okay. We hope you're comfortable. You want anything else? You want juice, fruit? We don't want anything from you. We were just smiling. Then comes the Pope. After these guys have filled their tummy up and all that, washed their hands and burped and belched and they're waiting there, the Pope comes. Then everybody lines up with their gifts. You know what gifts each one brought? That was the funniest part of it. One man has bought a coconut with a monkey shaped out of the coconut. Another man has bought a boat from Kerala made of, you know, that wood of the coconut tree and all that. Another guy has bought some funny thing. Everything, all, they think that all these natural things from Kerala will give him as gift. Somebody bought this thing. Somebody, one dance lady has come with all the bells and everything hanging and she wants to present something to this thing, one big. All sorts of local Indianized things. And amazingly, we were the only people holding one Bhagavad Gita. We had nothing else with us, our chanting bag and Bhagavad Gita. And that time I came to know what Prabhupada said was true. This land is filled with all sorts of funny guys who don't know what is culture and don't know what is Krishna consciousness. And all of them are Indians. Some are Christians, Muslims and this thing. And the Pope knows that. He knows that we have spread our religion here. These fellows are local people, but they are following our religion. And then there is, because coming into India, Christianity is a minority. Where he is coming from, Hindus are not even, you know, any some small minority, that's all. So he is coming here in a different, he's, oh, very nice, thank you, coconut shell, that thing, he's giving it to his assistant who is throwing it on the table there, so many of these things there. Then he looks at us from a distance. He asks the interpreter, because these two guys don't care for me, I can see it. They just don't bother. Who are those two people? We are standing in the queue in the end and generally laughing and very easy. Because we are looking at all these fools bringing all sorts of things and going to greet the Pope. Then I was thinking how Prabhupada, what he has done, he's taken it all over the world, the real culture. I had a great realization. And we were not bothered about the Pope. We were just moving up in the queue without looking at the Pope or bothering about the Pope. So he has asked the interpreter, who are those two boys? The interpreter said, I don't know, I'll find out. Then somebody came to us and asked, you're from, where? You're from Ramakrishna Mission? No, we are not from Ramakrishna Mission. We are from ISKCON, International Hare Krishna and all that. That fellow ran back to the interpreter and told, the interpreter told him, oh, he's a Polish man. When we came, we just gave, and all the others were thinking, she bought only a Bhagavad Gita? You didn't bring anything for the Pope? You mean a boat or, you didn't bring anything? No, we didn't. We were just having the chanting bag and a little Bhagavad Gita also, you know, just not even packed, just brought. And the Pope, he took it and he put it on his head. Then he spent time with us like with nobody else. He started talking to us. With all the others, it was like hardly half a minute. Oh, thank you. Go in like that. With us, he said, where are you situated here? I said, we are here in Cochin and Trivandrum and everything. So I know your movement in Poland. I have received polished Bhagavad Gita also. I have read it. He started talking to us and all the others getting disturbed. And not only they are watching us. We are important people. These two guys who didn't take part in anything, the eating, the resting, nothing. They are actually important fellows. And the interpreter, that interpreter is Polish interpreting. What we are speaking in English is telling him in Polish. We spent quite some time and he was visibly very happy when he saw us. He was smiling and then he tapped this thing and all that and he gave us some gift and all. To nobody else he gave. Some small write-up about him and something, some booklet and all. Then we were pushed aside by the fellow who was managing the queue. Okay, go, enough, the lots of people are waiting. So the Pope sort of bid us goodbye. But the type of thing that the Pope gets an idea is our culture. He knows he's wrong. These fellows are trying to satisfy me by bringing something like this, whereas their culture is this, the Bhagavad Gita. He knows that they are fools. He knows. That's why they are able to catch hold of people and convert them. Right? So you go meet a Hare Krishna devotee. Let the Christian meet a Hare Krishna devotee. There's no question of him getting converted. Definitely. Because he knows the culture. He knows the deep aspect of the culture. That is what we should pick up from Prabhupada's books. And if a person who reads Prabhupada's books, he becomes conscious of that. It's not just an ordinary Hindu book. It's much deeper. It goes right from the soul, right up to practice of shyness, how you should be. In all levels, it's explained. Prabhupada's book is not just a... And all of them are connected to being Krishna conscious. It's not culture without God. Just like now, there is spirituality without religion or God. It's not culture without God. It's total. Not, you cannot practice one without the other. So that's why Prabhupada said ours is a cultural movement for re-spiritualization of human society. You must very carefully understand what Prabhupada is trying to do. He could have very well sat down in Vrindavan and chanted Hare Krishna and gone back to Godhead without any cultural conquest. But he promoted an institution, all sorts of cultural aspects in it. Then he asked the women to be like this. Then he liked very much when the women are dressed up nicely and they are doing services. And he was very encouraging to the women. He had the women encouraged to get up and speak on the stage. It's not that he was shy, does not mean that Prabhupada didn't put them. You will see Prabhupada asking Yamuna to speak. You see Prabhupada asking Vishakha Devi Dasi to do things. You see? He told, and he at the same time, you can be shy and at the same time be a beacon of Krishna consciousness. So you can see both in Prabhupada's teachings and his practice. He taught the women how to cook. And they were all Western women learning Indian culture. And they were so good at it. He was very sure this can be changed anywhere. What to speak of Indians. So ours is a very broad understanding. And a culture in Krishna conscious culture can accommodate the whole world. So there's no contradiction. It can be done. I hope I've answered your question. Okay. Om Tat Sat. Any other question or comment? Yes. I can't hear. Those intricate details I may not be able to explain here. But that's too a specific question. It differs, the answers differ for different places. Generally speaking, naturally, the Krishna-conscious woman would have got married to a Krishna-conscious husband. And therefore, the chances are much less. And even so, if it does something happen like that, then you can always talk it out because the husband is a Krishna-conscious person. This will disturb our Krishna-consciousness if we do this. So we can always ask and say. Sometimes you may be immature in your Krishna-consciousness and you may think that what the husband is doing is wrong. And the husband can explain to you what it really means and why it's being done. Sometimes people, the wives think that certain flat things are right and certain other things should not be said or done or acted upon. It depends. Various different things can happen. Accordingly, you can always take the help of other senior people to counsel, discuss, come to a proper Krishna conscious conclusion. Right? That's a general answer I can give for a very gentle question. Om Tat Sat. Yeah. Yogas. Srila Prabhupada ki Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Nitai Gaur Premanande.